chapter number 17. Appreciate those of you with us today visiting. Glad that you're here, chosen to worship with us today. We pray that what we do here will be pleasing to the Lord. Verse number 30, Acts chapter 17, verse number 30. Paul speaking to a distinguished crowd here at Athens. His audience is the leading philosophers of the day. And the message is something that's not preached very often, even in modern day. Verse 30, "And at times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man," that would be Jesus Christ, "whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him," that would be Jesus Christ, "from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked." This is your responses to most preaching. They ridicule, they mock, they make fun of it. "Others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. We'll put it off till later. I'll think about it, but I'm going to wait till later on. And then so Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed." They accept it and believe it. That's the way the preaching of the Word of God is done today. "Among which was Dionysus, the Areopagite," pretty good, "and the woman named Demarius, and others that were with them." Father, we'd ask now that you might help us as we go over this passage and many others. God, we'd ask that you might clear out our mind, most of all our heart, of the clutter that would stand between us and you speaking to these people. God, we'd ask for an unction from the Holy Ghost of God wherewith we might be able to preach your words. We'd ask, God, for the liberty to be able to say the things that must needs be said, Lord. And Father, that you might open the ears of the hearer and set aside everything that would stand between them and them hearing what thus saith the Lord. God, we'd pray now that you might move mightily in our midst, that today will not just be another Sunday morning church service, but it might be a benchmark in our life with thee where things really changed and we permanently and firmly accepted the responsibility that lies with us to herald the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The certainty of coming judgment. Two things are sure besides death and taxes, and that is if you're saved, the rapture is going to take place, and the other one is the return of Jesus Christ. Many people want to know nowadays about war and about terrorism and about sleeper cells and about the economy and about storms and volcanoes and earthquakes, and they want to know about atomic bombs and tsunamis and all that. I don't know about all of those things. I know the certainty of the rapture is true and judgment thereafter is also true. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, God hath appointed a day when he shall judge the world in righteousness. He says it all through the book of Psalms. And one of the things that's been forgotten is that we mock, belittle, and make fun of that day of judgment. And I want you to know that modern man laughs at the thought of God judging him. That's why they wanted to kill Jesus Christ. In picture or in type, he's like Joseph. They wanted to get rid of Joseph because Joseph said, "Hey guys, I had a dream, and I dreamed that I was a star, and all the stars were bowing down to me. Hey guys, I had a dream. I was a sheaf, and I was out there in the field, and all the other sheaves bowed down to me." And you know what they said? "You're not going to be our judge." You know why they wanted to kill Jesus Christ was because they couldn't stand the thought that he was going to be their judge. That's why they sealed the tomb and did not want to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because they did not want to believe, though one rose from the dead, that that would be the very one that they stood and answered to. And before you take this message and then immediately shove it to people that have to do with facing the Lord in judgment at the great white throne, might I remind you that we will all have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says in the book of Romans, "Why are you so interested in judging your brother when you know that you're going to stand yourself at the judgment seat of Christ? Why are you so interested in what everybody else is doing when God says, I'm not interested in what you think about what they're doing. I'm going to hold you accountable for what you're doing." One of the ways to know that you're not doing anything is you're always interested in what everybody else is doing. Never fails. Judgment is going to be a final judgment. Final judgment didn't fall on Noah and Noah's day. Although all of those people drowned and all those people were done away with, that was not their final judgment. fire and brimstone falling on Lot's family and falling on all the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Though they lost their life, that was not the permanent judgment. Jeremiah prophesied of judgment to come, and he said, listen, Nebuchadnezzar's going to come in here and he's going to take over the city. He's going to burn it, slap to the ground. And the people mocked and laughed, and yet judgment came anyhow, but that wasn't the final judgment. Jesus Christ Himself predicted judgment would fall upon the city of Jerusalem, and Titus came in 70 AD, and literally men and women were eating their children. They were standing there at the moment of birth to take that child of a span long and throw that child in the pot and boil that child and eat that child. You say, I've never heard anything. We'll read Jeremiah and Lamentations. It'll give you a good clear picture of what's coming. Not what has been, but also what's coming. That thing which shall be hath already been. History repeats itself. You say, I can't imagine people turning into cannibals. According to what happens in the tribulation, people are starving and they're eating human flesh. The judgment that we consider nowadays, or that we talk about nowadays, we think that just because, you know, the Lord made the towers fall, that He's judged America. Listen, if He were to wipe America off the entire map and wipe out the United States of America, that's not the final judgment. The final judgment that we as Christians know that awaits everybody is a judgment in an eternal lake of fire burning forever and forever and forever. But you know what happens? What happens is because we know that truth and we've been saved from the fact that we're not going there, all of a sudden we sort of just take that for granted. All of a sudden, you know what? We forget that other people are going there. Everybody is going to be judged one day. I thank God my judgment will be at the judgment seat of Christ. But let me just ask you a question. Have you stopped to consider, to ponder for just a moment this morning, what a surprise it will be to certain individuals who go through life and think that death is the end of it and then wake up in a devil's hell burning forever? Nowadays, hell is said so often and it's used so much as a curse word. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Isaiah 14, if you would please. It's used so much as a curse word, that people laugh and mock and make fun of it as if it's not there. Whether you air condition it or not because you intend to move in doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. While you go happily on your way to heaven and are going to live eternally with Jesus Christ with a glorified body and a mind like Christ and forever in peace, there'll be people that will spend that same eternity in a place that burns forever and forever and forever, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Where the Bible says the smoke of their torment arises forever. They will be there as long as God lives. But the church has sort of kind of lost its mentality. The church nowadays is so interested in whatever infighting is going on among the brethren that while we're fighting over who's going to get in the lifeboat and who's not, and we go happily on our way to heaven, the world passes by on their way to hell and drops on average of 1.5 persons per second off into eternity, and we're still squabbling over who's playing the piano. We're still fighting over who's going to teach a Sunday school class. We're still worrying about who was here, who wasn't here, who's giving, who's not giving, who's doing, who's not doing. While we happily go on to heaven, I mean, we're on our way, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. The world passes us by and we think absolutely nothing of what God put us here for after we get saved. And that wasn't to fight over things in the church. Amen. To fight over our own personal reputation and preferences. We've lost focus of the fact that people are going to burn forever. You say, well, preacher, I happen to know in the Bible that I'm not going to be held accountable for nobody going to hell. They go to hell because they don't reject Jesus Christ. Yeah, but I wouldn't want to be the one that stands there and faces them at the great white throne judgment to know that I aided them or assisted them and look at them in their face and know that I helped them by damning them to hell. I'd hate to know that whatever stuck in my craw that I got against another brother or sister caused me to damn somebody to hell because I shot my mouth off about something the preacher said. While I sit out at the restaurant and have roast preacher for dinner, and then I talk about, well, you know, the preacher's an idiot and the preacher's a fool and the preacher done this and the preacher done that, and we don't listen to no preacher, and well, we don't care about him, and all preachers are in the flesh anyway, and we don't follow after a man. And after we've successfully driven the preacher off and shut the mouth of the preacher while we happily go on to heaven, then what? They go on off to hell. While we sit puffed up and swole up in our living room because somebody stepped on our toes, or God forbid, said something to us, and instead of us saying, you know something, it don't matter, we swell up in the living room, Sunday morning comes, and people in your neighborhood are used to seeing you get up and get in your car and go down to the church house, and then all of a sudden they say, how come they ain't going to the church house? Well, somebody offended them, and somebody upset them, and somebody bothered them, and while they happily go on to heaven, the people that have been watching them and their testimony have now all of a sudden, you know what? That's exactly why I don't go to church. And while we happily go off to heaven, those around us watching our testimony drop off into the pit of hell and later on to the lake of fire that burns forever. We claim to care and we dump all kind of money into all kind of programs and stuff, but the life we live says we could care less, because why? My ticket's punched, thank God, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm saved, born again, I can't lose my salvation, I'm eternally secure, and you won't even take the hand that grabbed the hand of Jesus one time and use it to put a track in somebody's head, and while you happily go off to heaven, you watch them as they perish and drop off into the pit of hell, and you say, well, I didn't want heaven to get too crowded. I had my ticket was punched. We've lost sight of what Jesus Christ came to die for. Jesus Christ did not come to sit in the middle of the church to resolve squabbles among a bunch of babies. Amen. Jesus Christ didn't create His church for the purpose of having carnal envy and strife and division so that people have nothing else to talk about. And then they figure that, you know what? While we happily go off to glory and we're happy that we're saved, people hear how we talk about each other. And you know what they say? Man, that's why I don't go to church, because if I went to church there, they'd talk about me the way they talk about them. And they go to hell. Because we've taught them that all the church is a cesspool of I want what I want when I want it. Lost focus. It's not about how big and how pretty and how well manicured and maintained. The church is here to try to encourage you to get you closer to Jesus so that you can't shut your mouth when you step out there in the world. But nowadays it's become a place where Christians use it to manipulate other Christians, and they cannot stand it when somebody else is in control, and because nobody's recognizing them, they must attach themselves to somebody who's being recognized and put their critical tongue all over them to try to gain some recognition because of that frustrated ambition. And while we're happily going on to heaven with black eyes and bruised knuckles, the rest of the world drives off into hell tonight. And we say we care, but we don't care enough to put those differences between ourselves aside and stay anchored into the book and stay anchored in God. No, sir, we're going to have our way. And we're going to make sure the preacher knows we ain't behind him. We'll make sure that we pull back the tithe. We'll make sure we pull back the offering. We'll make sure we pull back the attendance. We'll make sure we pull back the involvement. We'll make sure that we're not there. We'll make sure that even though we're not saying nothing, and while we're happily on our way to glory, the rest of the world observes that stuff and says, if that's your commitment to it, I don't want nothing to do with it. And right off into hell they go. And you could care less, because you want to keep and preserve your reputation more than you care about people going to hell. Learning the truth about hell is more than just thank God I was saved from it. Go out and dress like the rest of the world, act like the rest of the world, look like the rest of the world, do like the rest of the world, and the world looks at you, and while you're happily on your way to heaven, they look at you and say, well, there ain't no difference in them and me. They drink like I drink, they smoke like I smoke, they cuss like I cuss, they do what I do, they dress like I do, sometimes even worse. And I was just up there this week, this little girl came in, she said, preacher, I need to tell you something. And she said, he said, what's that? And she said, they just passed into public school a no cleavage rule. I asked her, get me a copy of that. I want to post it at my church. See, it's none of your business how my wife dresses. Why would that bother you? I bet you'll be looking for something to cover up at the judgment seat of Christ. Bible says naked and ashamed. We've gotten to a point that our nakedness, even in the house of God, bless God, it don't even bother us anymore. It's like we're advertising something for sale. But who cares? You say, why? We're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm born again. Saved, sealed, blood washed, rightly divide the Bible. King James Bible under my arm. Really? Are you doing more today to populate heaven or hell? How is your testimony in the world out there while you happily are sealed and safe to the day of redemption? Leave your finger right there. Let me just show you this in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14, verse number 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones to all kings of nations. I'd like to say this, death is not the end, it's the beginning of eternity. I can imagine there'll be some people that'll be real surprised. Come to Ephesians chapter number 4. They'll be real surprised. These people that say hell doesn't exist. Now I was preparing for this and I listened to a couple of individuals preach a couple of messages, and it's kind of interesting the way they preach it. It's sort of like, well, you know, it's kind of a bad place and you know, you're kind of separated from God and they're kind of, and they kind of are pleasing both crowds. I mean, that way you can still say you believe in hell, but it's really not so bad. No, it's bad. It's a whole lot more than separation from God. And while we continue to go happily on our way, we are condemning people today to go into the hallways of the damned, to wind up being tortured and burning forever. And some of them are family, some of them are friends, some of them are loved ones, but nevertheless, they're all people Jesus Christ died for. But, well, preacher, you know, what good is it to know about hell? I don't know why Jesus preached on it so much. He's preaching it to religious people. It's not just to see that you get saved from it, but that after you get saved from it, you tell other people about it. Yes, and it ain't with your foul mouth. Amen. The way some of you talk, it's amazing to me, they think that's probably where you're headed. It's become such a regular part of your vernacular that you no longer tremble when you say that word anymore. You don't think anything about saying D-blank anymore. You realize when you're saying that word, what you're saying is that's an eternal damnation to hell when you're saying for God to invoke them, or if you take the first part of that off and say, well, I'm going to clean it up. I've never taken the Lord's name in vain. I don't know. You're called a Christian, aren't you? For some of you, you're pretty well taking it in vain. You took a name that Christ died for, and the apostles who were disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. You got a name associated with you. I think that some of you took it pretty lightly. Maybe you took His name in vain more ways than one. Maybe you took His name by constantly putting your teeth on God's children like they did in Acts chapter number 7. Stephen's got nothing on the body of Christ today. Because all some of you do is just bite and devour anything and everybody around you. And it ain't just the preacher.
Yeah, amen.
That's the attitudes of a baby. But now we take the G off of it and we just say the D and we're like, well, that's okay. You know, that's kind of a clean curse word. You realize what you're saying? You're asking the Lord to damn something that you've just pronounced judgment on. Blasphemy. Well, God will forgive you. Yeah, but you won't repent of it. It's like covetousness. It's one of those accepted things that you won't ever hear admitted at the altar anymore.
Amen.
You'd be ready to throw down and fight with me and get your knuckles bruised and battered today, and you'd rather throw around on the floor than to admit, you know something, I'm guilty of that. I'm a little too loose with my lips. Loose lips sink ships. Well, preacher, under certain circumstances, you know, how come you justify it? Why don't you just step up and say, you know something, I'm guilty of that, and I know it ain't pleasing to God. I'm going to get right over it right now, and we can go on. You don't have to keep hitting on the thing, but not us, man. You say, why? Hell don't mean nothing to us anymore. That's the hallways of the damned.
Yep, there you go.
That's where they're going to be forever and forever and forever until God dies, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I don't know, maybe some of you are there. I don't believe in retreading people. But I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. After I start looking at this thing, I sent a note yesterday to a young lady and I just said, I just want to know whether or not for sure you're saved. And she sent me back the wrong answer. Why do you ask? And I just sent her back. I said, well, I'm afraid if something happens to you, that if I were to stand over your coffin, I couldn't say for sure that I knew you had trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and that you wouldn't be feeling the agony of the damned and suffering in torments and trials. And she started crying and she said, how dare you say that to me? Wrong answer. Why don't you say, no, sir, preacher, I ain't going. Why you get bowed up and get offended about it? I'll tell you why. Because there ain't no Christians care enough to tell her, hey, you're living like the devil, you're looking like the devil. I'm just wondering, do you belong to him? The devil is using Christians more today to shove people off into hell than he's ever used the world. It's the greatest weapon in his arsenal. The Bible says this in the book of Ephesians. Chapter number 4, verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Really? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. The stuff you've been talking about the last 2 or 3 weeks, is it good for edifying saints? The stuff you've been talking about, does it minister grace to the hearer? Or does it create envy and strife and sow discord and create division? The stuff you've been sowing, does it minister grace to the hearer? Are you telling somebody, listen man, it's more important than church politics and who rose to what position or who has what power or by what direction they got there or how, who, whatever got what? Are you ministering grace to the hearer? He says in another passage that it ought not be named among you. But oh, while we go on our way to heaven, we done drawed a line in the sand and we will tear a church up by its roots before we'll yield and say, you know something, what's more important than that is people going to hell. That might not be exactly right and I might not exactly like this and or that, and but you know, something more important than that. People are going to hell. While we go on to hell, or go on to heaven, go on our merry way, the fact of the matter is we care more about being right than we do about people going to a place where the fire is not quenched. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I think, first of all, there'll be some people surprised there who don't think hell exists. You say, why? We live as if it doesn't exist and that's not what we were saved from. Do we not? I think some people will be surprised to find themselves there. I think they'll say, well, now, wait a minute, I went to church. I ran a school. I preached a sermon. I played a piano. I did this. I did that. Oh, don't try to talk me out of my salvation. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. I'm saying there's going to be some people that are trusting their church membership or trusting the fact they did something or said something. And I'm telling you, if you're trusting anything but the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to wake up one day. I mean, in the moment, the twinkling of an eye when the rapture takes place, you're going to wind up in hell, burning forever, and it's going to surprise you. Well, what am I doing here? I went to church. You better hope to God it's not based on your church membership. If your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it'll be bad. Preachers will be there. Sunday school teachers will be there. Musicians will be there. Piano players will be there. Solos will be there. Religious people will be there. They'll all be there. I don't know. Maybe some of you will be there. Because you just figure, well, I got to be saved. You know why you say that? Because you're looking at somebody else that you know and you're saying, well, I live a better life than they do. You'd think somebody was saved from hell would be a little more faithful than we are, wouldn't you? A little less gossipy, wouldn't you? How come we're not? Because it's not real to us anymore. Not enough sermons on hell. And then whenever we preach on hell, you know what we always preach on? Well, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. And you're thinking, well, I ain't going to hell, I'm saved. You're not, but you sure are populating it.
You sure are assisting the devil, because he sure is getting a benefit out of using you. So how dare you accuse me? If you ain't guilty, don't worry about it. But if you're guilty, bless God, put the shoe on and wear it and be man enough to own up like you're such a big, tough man and always going to tell everybody, well, I'm going to stand up for that. I just don't believe that's right. Well, how about you stand up for Jesus Christ? So what, you stand up to a man? So what, you stand up to a politician? So what, you stand up to your wife or your husband, or you stand up to a teacher, or you stand up to a boss? So what does that mean in the eternal idea or decree of things? It doesn't mean nothing. While you happily go off to hell, and you, I mean, go off to heaven, there are people dropping off into hell just because they're watching you. I'd hate to have somebody watching me and say, you know something, I don't want anything to do with the Jesus you got. I think it'll be surprising to some people how fast they get there, because it'll happen right off the bat. Most of the people that think they're going to trust the Lord in the 11th hour, they die at 10:30. I think it'll be surprising who's there. There'll be kings there, princes. Oh, it won't just be Hitler and Mussolini and Bloody Mary. It won't just be Dahmer and all those people who were mass murderers. It won't just be people that we don't like, misfits of society. It'll be the upper crust, the upper echelon. You'll walk away in them places and you'll think to myself, well, how did that guy get here? He was a good guy. He was a king. He was a president. He was a prince. He was somebody special, man. He had all kind of recognition. He had all kind of money. He had all kind of fame. He had all kind of fortune. Why, man, he went to church. He supported the church. He gave money. He did this. He did that. I think it'll be surprising to some people when they get there who they're going to find there. I think also when they see the torment and the fire, did I give you 2 Thessalonians? They see the fire and the anguish and the burning. The burning. The burning. I think it'll shock them. In two ways. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Number 1, I think it'll surprise them that there's that much pain and anguish involved. But also a surprise that God lets it continue. God doesn't stop it once they get there. And you squabble and squabble over whatever it is that's stuck in your crawl today. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 7. We who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. But you know what? We're happily on our way to heaven. But we all upset along the way. There's things going on even right now as I speak that are happening right here that I don't even know about. Y'all are on your way to heaven and you're acting like children of the devil. You're on your way to heaven and after you leave church, all you can do is talk about church people. Oh, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. Your language betrays you. Now, we know enough Bible to be able to kind of do it sort of in a sideways fashion. That's why a message like Sunday school and a message like this that's so straight up and right in your face, it seems to be a little bit offensive to some of you, because it's almost like, well, he's accusing me. If you're not guilty, don't worry about it. But God help you if you've sat at a restaurant somewhere and run down people in the church and where they're at and what they're doing and who they're messing around with and what they did with their bills and whether or not they paid them or didn't pay them or how they got this or how they got that or whether they're a cheater, whether they're a liar, whether they're in jail, whether they're in prison or what they're doing. God help you if you're sitting out there and all the people, you know what you're saying? I don't really care if these people go to hell. And what you're saying, is it so important that it's worth them listening to what you're saying and saying, you know what? They just came from church. I don't believe I want to go to church. Well, they go to church. They got a lot of trouble over there. Yep. Say, preacher, that's just people. You can do all things through Christ Jesus and you don't have to be that way. Amen. But you've lost your vision of hell. The last time you sat down with somebody and with tear-filled eyes sat there and said, listen, man, why don't you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because I'd hate to see you go to hell. No, your family members are in now. You're in now. You could care less if the rest of the world goes to hell because you don't know them. don't make no difference to you at all. You say, how do you know that? By how you talk and how you live and how you act and what you do when you're out of here. Sunday night's become just another night. Now it's gotten to be Sunday morning. Just another day. We don't sting one day better than another day. You know what? People are watching you. They're going to drive right off into hell. Because why? Well, you don't need to go to church. So they figure, well, why should I go to church? He's saved. He don't go. Well, you need to go to church and get saved. Then after you get saved, you get the liberty to not go no more. Where's that in the Bible? Before you got saved and right after you got saved, you couldn't get enough of church. But now you've gotten sophisticated. You don't care about your testimony anymore. You don't care. I remember in this church, people standing up over there and over here saying, it just bothers me, preacher, at people in my own neighborhood that are getting up and they're cutting their grass one Sunday morning and they're hooking up their boat and they're going to the beach and all that. And that was our way of crowing and saying, but bless God, I was going to church. But now the very people who used to say that can't find their way to the church house no more. It ain't important. I got liberty. I do my own study. That Bible says that the Lord gave pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, and that would mean that if you're going to get perfected, that God uses a preacher in a church to do it. And I back up from saying that because there's always somebody around. We don't worship no man around here. A little bit too much glory going on in the man. Well, preacher, I appreciate that message, but I don't want to puff you up or nothing like that. Hey, you know what? You can take that and take it right back to the devil where you got that from.
Amen, preacher.
You think I'm doing this because, hey, I like doing it. You think this is fun this morning? But bless God, God has lured and burdened my heart. I sat up there for days in them mountains and I got to study. And God showed me clearly, whether you want to believe it or not, the church has got its eyes on itself.
Amen.
Got your eyes off of people that are going to walk the highways of the damned. And burn forever, which you were delivered from. But hey, you got your ticket. You're good. Praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven. But they didn't let me sing during the revival. Wow. So-and-so Sunday school got to quote scripture. Mine didn't. Well, you know what? It's all about performance, and we'll make sure that yours get up here next to make sure that everybody knows what a wonderful teacher you are, because it's all about making sure that they know that. It's all about how come they sang two times and they ain't never asked me to sing two times. And I'll guarantee you, it don't just get said to church people. You say, but preacher, I only talk to Christians, okay? So you don't shove them off into hell, but you sure do corrupt them at the judgment seat of Christ. You steal from them and let the devil use you to do it. Well, preacher, you're taking that stuff a little too seriously. You should have this thing after I've had it for the last 4 or 5 days and have it be watered down. You've gotten too fresh with God Almighty. You just assume and presume on God that what God understands, and that's just how the church is. That may be how it is, but that ain't how it's supposed to be. Picking up your phone, picking up your computer, and firing all kind of stuff across the country about all kind of stuff and who's going on with what and who's doing what. Well, I just don't believe that, and I don't believe God ought to use him, and I don't think God ought to use her. I don't know why God used her to sing that song, people shouting amen, but if you knew about her what I knew about her, why that girl's old whore and she come from nowhere, she's had a half a dozen husbands, that kind of thing, I can't believe God. And what you're really saying is you're upset because she's saying your wife didn't and your wife's giving you a fit about it, and so you're running your mouth about her because you can't handle the heat in the kitchen. You're always running your mouth about somebody else's wife not in submission. Because you ain't controlling yours. Or you beat her down to the point she's afraid to whimper even like a puppy. But oh, you spiritual because she just follows along behind you, you know. I'm spiritual. You are? Yeah, my husband says I am. And the world sees that, you know what they do? While you're happily on your way to heaven, the whole world looks at that and says, that looks an awful lot like Islam to me, and if that's what their Christ is, you know what? I think I'm out of here. I don't believe I want nothing to do with it, you know. But I don't care, bless God. Yeah, that's really the gospel, ain't it? That's really the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? I don't know what burrs under your saddle today. I know I've been around this thing long enough to know I've been here 20 years now. I used to back up from saying that. A fellow told me one time, he says, well, you keep saying that like you deserve something for being there. I thought, why would you think that? Yeah. You go to work for a company for 20 years, you know what they're saying? When you're retiring. Don't they? You go to work 20 years somewhere, you know what they're saying? Man, that's amazing. You've been here for 20 years. You pastor a church for 20 years, they think there must be something wrong. Why? Because you couldn't run me off? I think it's a blessing God allows me to preach. And just so you get the other side of the story, God did me the favor. I'm sorry, y'all have to live with it. But God called me to preach. That keeps me in church. That keeps me in the Bible. That keeps me praying. Listen, God did not look at me and say, man, I got to use that guy. God said, there ain't nobody. I'll take that guy right there. And I realize it makes some of you just as mad as a hornet. I cannot help it. God is the one that called me to do what I'm called to be doing. And I'm doing it just because that pleases Him. Amen. And I have a tendency to sort of go easy sometimes with His folks because I'm like, well, Lord, you know. He says, why come you think they're so busy? There's a positive side of the message. Why do you think they're so busy biting and devouring each other? Hung up on some ecclesiastical, non-biblical truth. Straining at a gnat while they're swallowing a camel, trying to pick a speck out of somebody's eye while they got a telephone pole sticking out of their head. The Lord says, why do you think it's that way? Because they forgot what they were saved from, plain and simple. And they forgot their actions sure ain't helping other people get out. Certainty of coming judgment is a truth we all believe, do we not? If you think that heaven is such a great place and the Savior is so wonderful, can I ask you a question? How come you ain't inviting people there? How come you can come against people in the church, but when was the last time you sat down with somebody and tried to get them to heaven? How come you can pick every doctrinal nook and cranny about something out, but you've lost your heart for the people that are going to hell? Hey, you already saved. I forgot. You're happy. You're as good as in heaven with the door shut. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Who gives a flip about anybody else? Why do you think the church is here? For you to play in? For the preacher to get up and get on to you about how you live? The church is here to be a burning and a shining lighthouse to try to draw every lost moth and bug that's out there to help them to come to a place where they say, man, listen, there's a hell to shun. I heard a fellow tell me just not very long ago. He says, I realize that you folks are saved, but there's a lot of them that harbor that bitter envy and strife in them. They don't think nothing about talking to other people. About other people. Not a single one of them has been interested in asking me if I'm going. But they don't mind coming to my shop and tell me everything that happened in their church service or their church the week before. And I said, well, can I just change the record for a second? Are you going? You say, what happened? Well, the bitter truth came out. Yes, he was saved. But you know what his excuse was going? Not going? Well, the hypocrites that are in the church and the people talk about each other. So I quit going. Now before you think that's a justifiable reason, how come he let the devil use him to get out instead of staying there and saying, you know something, I don't really want to hear it. Right. You know what, I'm not interested in hearing that statement. I'm not interested in hearing your opinion about so-and-so or such-and-such. You know what he did? He didn't care about all them people that came by there. All he did was use them people that came by there as justification and never go back. You say, why? Because the devil will always bring birds of a feather to cause them to flock together. And whenever you get your mind made up, this is what I'm going to do, there'll be an individual that'll walk along, that'll be feeling the same way you are, and they'll come up to you and say, well, now, you know, now, we love a preacher and everything, you know. But you know, the other day he said, and you'll say, you know, I've been wondering about that, but I didn't want to say nothing to nobody. Preacher's kind of off like a half a bubble or something. I don't know. You say it never happened. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're the one that preaches four times a week, what do you think people are going to talk about? You ain't got a program to talk about. We ain't got none. We ain't got a movie to talk about. We don't show none. You can't talk about the music unless you complain about it. We ain't got no contemporary music. What else is there to talk about? You know what? Usually those individuals that come once a week, they don't come for the other three. They only get part of the message. But they'll only hear the part of the message that feeds the part that's going to justify. And while they're saved, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah, going to heaven, sealed to the day of redemption, they could care less that they're dragging other people away from the judgment seat of Christ. Or you know what else they're doing? They're populating hell. Does it bother you? Where are the tears? Preacher, what happened to brother so-and-so? What happened to sister so-and-so? I don't know. Why don't you go get some new ones to replace them? They made a choice. They said, you know what? I don't care. It's all about me. I'll sit in my living room and rot before I go back to church. Christian people. I hate Christian people. I don't want to be around Christian people. Go ahead, you old devil, and populate hell. People are people, Christian or otherwise. It's a matter of what you make out of it. You make more over what somebody drives up here and how you think they obtained it than you do over a soul going to hell right now. How'd they get that car? Who cares? Maybe they got a good line of credit. Maybe they stole it. What business is yours? Maybe they got it in an inheritance. There's an individual here that got an inheritance. Drove up in a new car. Somebody said, I happen to know they're on a limited income. How'd they get that? Why? What? Maybe they sold their house. Who knows? What? What? And the devil will always fix it where that statement gets made, where there's either a lost individual or a backslidden individual right there close by. And now that you made it say, it's like, oh, I didn't mean nothing. And while I'm on it, bless God, let me just go ahead and cover the foolish jesting and the foolish talking that goes around. Like you cut down one another and slice each other in the name of Jesus, just having a good time. But there'll always be some weak, wobbly sort of a Christian around thinking, man, I hope they don't ever jump on me like that. Amen. Maybe in the privacy in your closet between one another, but when you're out there clowning around, well, we's just friends, but there's people watching. It's more dangerous than picking up a cigarette. But we're saved, sealed, born again. And while we're on our way to heaven, rejoicing all the way because we're going one way or the other. Millions are going to hell. What do you got that's stuck in your crawl that's more important than that? I gave you the passage. Go to Matthew chapter 12, please. While you run your mouth and criticize everybody who's trying to do something and go right on to heaven, the devil takes those words and amplifies them to ruin Christians at the judgment seat of Christ and send the unsaved to hell on the wings of your words. Minister grace to the hearer. Are you serious? Edifying the saints? Really? Well, preacher, I'm just a realist. I'm just telling it like it really is. Really? Why is it so important that what you just had to say had to be said? Why couldn't you just take it to Jesus? I don't claim to be infallible, but I am wore out with trying to always apologize when I slip up and say something stupid and you're just waiting for me to mess up to bring it to my attention and say, now, preacher, you just said, you know, now I'm just telling you. You ever wonder if maybe the Lord didn't put that in there just to see where you were at? I never ask you to trust me, but I ask you to trust what I say from this book. But nowadays we've gotten real sophisticated because we know so much of the Bible. Matthew chapter 12. We don't even think about our words and how powerful they are. I think sometimes some of us, we get to thinking this. We think that when we get to heaven that the Lord is going to be interested in what we think about somebody in His body. You know, I hate to say this, and I'm not trying to be smart, and I'm really trying to be careful when it comes to these kind of statements. But I'm not really that interested in what you have to say about my wife. She's my wife. If you don't like her, that's your problem. I'm not divorcing her for you. If you don't like how she dresses, I ain't changing it unless you want to give me the money to go down to the store and buy her something, and I'm not going to Walmart, Lord willing. It's funny, you know, you want your wife to shop at Walmart, but you're going to go get you the best there is. Why do you think God's really that interested in what you have to say? The church is full of critics in the last days. You criticize His body. You bite and devour one another, and the Lord looks down and is like, man. You know, if you just remember that there's people going to hell, you'd be able to overlook all this other stuff. They're in. Why are you so interested in them? Why don't you go get some that ain't? We've lost that evangelistic tone, haven't we? Forgotten that souls really are still important. Have you gone to just one person a week and said, hey, can I give you a track? Tell you about Jesus? It ain't because of Jesus people don't come to church. It's because of the church people don't come to church. You figure, why should I go there? You ain't no more committed to it than a billy goat. Why would I come where you don't go? Well, you need to get saved. Okay, I'll get saved. Then what? Well, come over to my house for Bible study and I'll teach you. What about church? Well, you can't go to church anymore, Camping says, because all the churches are corrupt. Really? Say, so how do you know this? Preacher, I've been dealing with this. I've never before ever seen so many preachers in the last 6 months who have contacted me either in person or over the telephone and say, I can't do it no more. I've had it. I can't do it. I'm out. I'm finished. So you're effective at running off the preacher. Then what are you going to do? You going to take over? I pray you do. I pray you do. And I pray God will give you church members like you. Stop and think about it for just a minute. Here you are, a lifeboat. You're out here in the sea of sin floating along. And inside the lifeboat, you knock a hole in the bottom of the boat. And you destroy the boat. Now, well, praise the Lord, ain't that a blessing? Yeah, now who's going to get in? Because you've destroyed it. So you destroy the church. In the name of Jesus, of course. You destroy the church. Then what? Why would you do that? The apostles go over there. There's 70 other guys. And the apostles go up and say, hey, listen, Lord, we need to talk to you. He said, yeah, what's that? He said, well, these guys over here, man, they didn't go to the same school we went to. And they don't do it the way we do it. And the Lord said, well, are they saying things against me? Or, well, no, they don't say nothing against you. He said, nah, don't worry about it. Let them alone. Lord, you don't want me to destroy them? Nah, they're not against us. So don't worry about it. We're good. If the Lord's got that much grace, how come you don't?
Right.
You're just razor blade straight, aren't you? You're just as crooked as a fish hook, and if you were to fall through a barrel of them, you'd get stuck all the way. You'd fall all the way through. You're so crooked they have to screw your shirt on you when you die along with your coffin. There ain't nobody that straight. And when you start claiming to be, you fight that group of individuals that sees themselves as a Pharisee and they're there to do nothing but destroy. While you're saved, going to heaven. And everybody else watching is going right straight to hell. But who cares? Preacher, I need to talk to you. Okay, sister. You all right? No, I'm not. Do you know what sister so-and-so said to me? Well, no, but I mean, is it that big of a deal? Yes, it's a bit. I can't believe she. Okay, well, let's go get her and call her in here. Well, no, I don't want to talk to her. Uh-uh. Well, you done told everybody else. Well, why are you telling me? I'm going to go get her because I got to hear what she's got to say about it. No, we won't do that. Because we're looking for a reason to get offended so we can justify doing what we plan on doing anyway. But we got to find a righteous reason to do it. You know what the Lord will do? You know what the Lord will do? The Lord will give you what you're looking for to justify what you want to do. And He can do it right from the book. You say, oh, no, the Bible's true. I know. 1 Kings 22, He sent a lying spirit and told the king exactly what he wanted to hear. And the king went out in the name of the Lord. And he died. I'm almost done. But folks, I have to tell you something. If we don't change, you know what will happen? God will do what He did over there and eat the old fat man's sitting there on the... Yeah, fat man. I said fat man. I can't believe you said fat. He's always picking on fat people. The gluttonous man. The man that had gland trouble. He's sitting there. His two boys have been doing stuff they shouldn't do, profaning the temple, messing around with prostitutes. They come in and say, hey, preacher, yeah. They just took the ark. The Bible said he fell over backwards, and him being a heavy man, what it says in the Bible, busted his neck, broke his neck. And a woman gave birth right at that time. She took out the swaddling clothes instead of the birthing clothes. Swaddling clothes are grave clothes. You know what she said? I'm going to name this child Ichabod, for the glory of the Lord hath departed. You keep playing around with His work. You know what He'll do? He's not going to stop blessing. He'll go down to Obed-Edom. He ain't going to quit blessing somebody. But you know what He'll do? He'll vacate this place. Yep. Well, preacher, I've been kind of thinking that He's vacated this place. Okay, well, if that's how you feel, that's fine. I think He's still here. Amen. God still speaks to me here. Amen. Well, God don't speak to me no more. Oh, I forgot. You are the thermometer by which we run everything. And if God's not speaking to you, then He must not be here. It couldn't be that you're backslid as the devil and full of yourself and full of foolish pride that God don't speak to you anymore. It couldn't be that nobody can teach you anymore. Couldn't be that you have a problem with authority anymore, could it? All them other people that God, so-called, speaking to, it's not real, it's a facade, it's fake, it's phony, it's a put-on, it's just emotional. My, my, my. And you have become such a spiritual giant to be able to discern that. That you can tell what everybody in this room is thinking. You're messing with God's people. But you're happily saved on your way to heaven. And who cares if the rest of the world goes to hell? There's people in that church, I don't like them because they shout. Wow. I can find shouting more in the Bible than I can. They got scripture for theirs. Where's yours? It's not a preference, is it? It's not just how you prefer it, is it? It's not that that's the only way you can worship, is it? You wouldn't get in the way of anybody else worship. You believe in freedom to worship, don't you? As long as it's the way you think it ought to be done. Now join the Catholic Church. They throw smoke and don't say a word. One man talks, everybody listens, and then they all leave and go do whatever they want to do. If that's what you want, that's a religion. Funny how envy and jealousy can cause people to constantly recognize what somebody else is doing while we happily go on to heaven. Rejoice in all the Bible we know. And the Bible said He hath given you this gift. The ministry of reconciliation resides in you for you to reconcile others to Him. He gave you a gift. And you're going to waste it worrying about what somebody who's already saved thinks? in the whole scheme of things, could I ask you a question? Straightening somebody else out doctrinally, is that more important or somebody going to hell? I don't know. What do you think is more important? That you make sure that you've got that guy fixed and he's doctrinally straight and doing what you think he ought to be doing? Instead of letting God show him over time, you know, God's got to use you as the surgical instrument to straighten him out. That more important than people going to hell? He's saved. He's going to heaven. The Lord will straighten him out one day. Won't you be glad when you get at the judgment seat of Christ and you can finally see all those people that you've been trying to straighten out for years in the body of Christ? Won't you be glad to see Jesus finally straighten them out and you finally get them thinking like you think? Won't you be glad as you happily go along to heaven and the world dies and goes and suffers the agony of the damned for all eternity? Flesh is burned off of them and their soul is down there and they're burning and screaming and being tortured. And the Bible says there's weeping and there's wailing and there's gnashing of teeth and there's darkness and all of that stuff's going on down there. But you're happily on your way to heaven. Sorry they went to hell. Not my problem. Why did he save you? Just to keep you out of hell? Just to blow your head up like a balloon? I met some people in South Africa. They don't know nothing about the Bible. They sure do know some things about God. I met some people in the mountains in Carolina. They don't know a lot about the Bible. Whew. But boy, can they get a hold of the Lord and step into the throne room, and the Lord's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Good to see you back again. I'm just asking you, is being so dogmatically and doctrinally straight more important than people going to hell? You're trying to straighten out people that are already saved. Why do you waste your time with these people that are in other religions? There's a lot of people that ain't in no religion. Why don't you go get them? Oh, I forgot. You got to show them what you know. And how many have you converted? How many of you straightened out? How many in the church have you straightened out? Until we get this thing straight among ourselves and straight between us and Jesus, you know what happens? It stagnates and stunts the growth of the church because the focus is too much inward. The last church is destroyed from the inside. You know why? They've lost their focus of people out here. Everything you're doing is affecting other people around you. But you're saved. You're going to heaven. Who cares? What difference does it make? Who cares if you look and act like the world? Pfft, who cares, man? I'm going to heaven. Don't matter if you run around naked as a jaybird. Ain't got enough clothes on to make a pair of breeches for a blue jay. Who cares, man? Pfft, what difference does it make? I'm saved. Going to heaven. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Happily, you're on the way to heaven. So, preacher, why do people dress like... Well, because it might give you an opportunity to open the door and say, you know something different about you, lady? Something different about you. I noticed when all these other ladies were talking about this other woman, I noticed you just excused yourself and eased on out of the room. What is that? Well, I'm saved and on my way to heaven, but I ain't got time to talk about who the flavor of the month is. But I'll be glad to tell you about Jesus. Amen. Who cares if they go to hell, church? You ain't going. You got your ticket on the lifeboat. You're already off the Titanic. Who cares if it sinks? You got your seat bought and paid for. Let them drown in a lake of fire that's never quenched. What subject did Jesus Christ preach more than anything? Oh, he preached the love of God. No, he preached on hell more than anything else. Matthew chapter 12, I gave you this. I would not want to leave it out. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of an evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak
They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words, thy words, thou shalt be justified, and by thy words, thou shalt be condemned. You know, there's a passage over there in the book of Job. I think it'll be about Job 26. And there's six questions that are asked right there of Job. And except for the first two questions, all four of those things have to do with what he says. One fellow said this. He says, your testimony speaks so loud I can't hear what you're saying. How's your testimony this morning? Does it even bother you? Do you even care? Now come you come to church on Sunday night, preacher? Well, maybe it's not just for you for a change. How about that? Maybe it's just to be a good testimony to lost and dying world, see Carl's in the parking lot and say, man, I wonder what they're doing over there. Yeah. Maybe you come on Wednesday night. You know why? Maybe because it's a testimony to a lost and dying world. Maybe this whole thing ain't about you. Well, I just ain't being fed, preacher. Sheep seem to be being fed. Goats don't get fed with sheep food. You know goats. But, yeah, but, yeah, but. Yeah, but. I'm not sure why it is that you're interested in messing up what's here. What would be the benefit? Preacher, if we could just get you to resign, we could get this church to 500. Okay, maybe you could. But would you do like the church did over in Arlington and change your name to some kind of a worship center and drop Baptist and make sure nobody tells anybody about hell and nobody ever deals with the church and their sin? We just deal with the sins of the queers and the other denominations out there. We deal with the sins of the people in the jails and the drunkards and all the misfits out there and all the thieves and the robbers and doesn't deal with the sins of the church. Is that what you'd do? Is that how you'd handle it? You wouldn't want to offend anybody, would you? Well, I love God, you know. Mm-hmm. Enough to keep your mouth shut? And only open it when you're talking to somebody that's fixing to go to hell? I'd like for you to think about these matters. Because I think it's serious. I don't think the Lord would give me a message like that if it wasn't serious. Well, I think it's a little bit mean-spirited. Okay, make sure you say that when you sit down at the restaurant. Or make sure you laugh it off and make a joke about it and say, well, he just hadn't had enough sleep. That's what happens when he travels, you know. He gets fired up. He'll settle down after a while. Can I ask you a question? Why would you want me to settle down? Why wouldn't you go, you know what? My preacher embarrasses me. But it ain't for immorality. It ain't for being illegal. It ain't for being unlawful. Yes, sir. Yeah, he's a nut job for Jesus. Yes, he embarrasses me. He sweats and spits, and sometimes he runs on the pews, and sometimes he gets mad and turns red, looks like a Q-tip dipped in iodine. But you gotta love the retard, man. I mean, you know. Would you rather me embarrass you by divorcing my wife and running off with somebody? So you could put that on Facebook or whatever them things are? We're just like everybody else. Our preacher ran off with so-and-so. Our deacon stole money out of the plate. Our kids are fornicating and doing all kind of wickedness. We're just like everybody else. And while you're happily saved and on your way to heaven, and publishing stuff that's going on inside the church family. People out there look at that stuff and march off into hell for all eternity. And I don't think it bothers you. I don't think you care. So how do we prove you care? You stop doing it. Your name may not be the greatest soul winner in the world, but you can do some things to keep from letting your conversation kick people closer to hell. Amen. Can't you do that? I didn't ask you to go witness to a fence post. Can't you just do some things to keep from making sure that your
conversation is sound and not to be condemned, that it's not making people think, could you at least do that? Could you just stand for something? Maybe you can, I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, the curtain's closing. And one day, the reason you go into the judgment seat of Christ is, and Paul says the terror of the Lord is you're going to face the Lord, and the Lord is not going to be interested in what you think of nobody. He's going to say, I'm going to talk to you, buddy.
Right.
And all this tripe that the devil has been successful at causing us to get sidetracked while we happily go on our way to heaven, the Lord's going to say, I don't care about all that stuff. What'd you do for me? Well, Lord, sister so-and-so, she got put into charge of so-and-so, and she's got pierced ears. What? Sang a song, she's got a tattoo. Preached a sermon, and he used to be in jail. Saved. Trying. Well, I guess, you know, nobody quite comes up to your standard. You know all Jesus does? He just takes a bunch of misfits.
Yep. Right.
He even used Peter after Peter denied him. He couldn't have been an independent Baptist. Some fellow told me one time this. I'm going to land the plane in a second. But he said to me, he said, you know, independent Baptist in the Bible starts with John the Baptist. And I said, really? He said, yeah, John the Baptist. Baptist in the Bible. Wow, that's pretty good. I said, you think Jesus was an independent Baptist? Absolutely. I said, well, he couldn't have been. He said, how you figure that? I said, he used David. He committed adultery and murder. Still let him be a king. And by the way, a priest and a prophet. I said, he couldn't have been. He used Paul. He was a murderer. Couldn't have been. He used Moses. He was a murderer. He used Peter after he denied him. And you know that after somebody denies him, there's no way you can let him back in. And if you do let him back in, you can't let him fill the office that they once obtained. They got to come down if you're not, because God can't use them like he would have used them because of what they did. Can I ask you a question? Didn't Peter jump right back in? Didn't God restore him? And didn't God use him the same way he used him as he did before? He's raising people from the dead even after he denied him. Am I right? Is that the right Bible? He couldn't have been an independent Baptist. And I told that guy that. He goes, well, what are you saying? I said, a lot of times what we do is we have a standard higher than the Lord. The Lord just says, all they are is just saved individuals banging along, doing the best they can. And I kind of like it. Why does it bother you so bad? It's only the devil that makes fun of who God uses. So you just called me the devil. Okay. Then you're a devil. Why would you care who serves the Lord? Why would you care if they have a past and they're just trying to do something in the present? Why would that bother you? They're just trying. What do you want them to do? Oh, you're saved, but you can't do nothing. Okay. Why? It'll upset me. Okay. Well, can I? We'll let you sweep the floor. Can I deal with people? No. Oh, no. No, 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 no. You can't. You can't. Can I give a word of testimony? No, no, no. Now, you could have, but see, you messed up. Now, God can't use you like he would have used you. Oh, now, let me ask you a question. Who's playing God here? Who's determining whether God can use him or not? I'm just asking. Why does that bother you? Is it possible because they're getting something done and you're not? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I hope you get the point. Miss Pat, I'm going to have you come play. If you'd like to come, you certainly can. I'd like to say this first of all. If you're here today and you're lost, the place I'm talking about is hell, and I do care if you go there. And it does matter to me, in spite of what some church members and other people might make it all about them and all about the strife and the turmoil and the trouble in the church and this and that and the other. That ain't what I'm all about. We're here today because we don't want to see you go to hell. If you're saved today, can I ask you a question?
Are you just sort of taking that thing for granted? Your attitude and your actions, do they point people more to Christ or do they point more people more toward hell? You populate in heaven? You populate in hell? I don't know. That choice is yours. But while we go happily along on our way to heaven, oftentimes we don't consider our actions are pushing people into hell to burn forever. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Miss Pat plays. Some have already come.